Welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart with T Till. Of course, it is me, Terrence Tillman, T Till in the building. We do have a very esteemed special guest here. I'll just give you a little bit of background about her. She's very accomplished, she's multi talented. She's a professional with over 25 years of robust credentials in communications, media, marketing, promotions, brand development, public speaking that really positively impacts our audience. She's highly innovative. Performance artist, right, who's been in multiple Disney Cruise Line musical tours throughout Austria, Belgium, Germany, Netherlands, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Norway, and the Bahamas. So amazing. She's also a creative culinary artist and former boutique catering owner who's worked with the illustrious James Beard Foundation in New York City. She has a passion, passionate system thinker who is a champion for workplace culture, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And she definitely has an incredible message. She's a life coach. She definitely has a message entitled See, Move, and Manage that we will get into. But what we have here is the incomparable Nicole Cooper. Welcome to Conversations of Heart with T-Till. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful opening. I appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't think I had enough breath for it. It was a lot. Yeah. It was a lot going on. But you do a lot, you've done a lot, and I want to get into all of those things. But I know I gave you an introduction, but I want you to give yourself an introduction, tell people who you are, if I missed anything, just tell people who you are, and especially to my listeners who might be new to you, give them a little bit about who you are.
Well, thank you. So I'm Nicole Cooper, and I'm a life coach at the Goodwill Excel Center. Who I am in the world is an expression of I want people to be heard and seen. No matter where I go, that is my walk in life. And I was telling you, Terrence, earlier that I am an explanation point, not a question mark. Mm. So what that means to me is that I stand up when I listen things, I hear, and then I say what there is. And I look at the gaps in life. Not a problem solver, but I'm a critical thinker. Mm. I'll say that. And a passion for life. That's what's up. And travel. Yeah.
Well, we're about to get into
lover
that.
Of people. Lover of people.
Yeah, we're gonna get kind of started right. Because what caught my eye was, a bunch of everything, but what caught my eye was a performance artist. And I listed a lot of places that you've been. Let's kind of start here. So what kind of performing, were you doing on the Disney cruiser? Was it singing, dancing? So how did you get started doing that?
How did I get started doing that? Good question. So I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky, and mm-hmm. I moved to New York 25 years ago. Living for 25 years, and now I'm back in Kentucky. I knew I wanted to be in the arts, musical theater. So I knew I could dance and sing. So it's kind of like a triple threat and act. So I started in college and then I did summer stock theater. And then I moved myself right after college to New York. And immediately I got a show called Grease, Das Musica, basically Grease the musical, but it was in German. Speaking was in German and we sang in English. So in fact, it was somewhat easy because who doesn't know Grease the musical, right?
Right.
It was kind of like that for me. And then I just kept singing and dancing and acting. And I did a show in Bregenz, Austria, that I love Bregenz. It's a fantastic, they have it. It's at the Festspielhaus, and that is an outdoor summer theater, and it's huge, and it's in between Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. There, it's like a little. It's not a pond, but you can see all the countries. They're all connected, and the theater is actually on the water, and then the seats are around. So it's really, it kind of floats, if you will. It's y'all have to check it out. The Festspielhaus. It's really wonderful. And I did Porgy and Bess there. And that performance was really soulful. And what I mean by that is it was the first time that I met individuals from all over the world who were Black. So we had like Black Austrians, Black Germans, Black Dutch, South African, Brazilian, French. And they were all from those countries. They were not American. And then you had the American performers. So I had all these gorgeous colors and I got to perform with all these people and everybody had different backgrounds of, I spoke about racism in their culture and what was that? And so they taught me because I didn't know how it was in France. I didn't know how it was in Germany or in Belgium, you know? So it was really, that's the one that, out of all my performances was the most soulful, like to get connected with all Black people, but people from other countries. And that was beautiful. And then I moved on to do some other European shows and then came back to America. And I did the Disney Cruise Line when it first started, which was beautiful. I did Hercules.
Wow.
That was the show. And I was one of the muses, you know, one of the muses with the big, which was amazing. And all the travel I got to do was with Jesus Christ Superstar. Wow. That's where I was in Switzerland and Belgium and Luxembourg and Belgium, all those beautiful places. And that was beautiful because we played in small little amphitheaters and theaters to huge arenas. And there was one arena that was literally like we were rock stars. It reminded me of the Met Stadium and it was huge. And we filled the whole thing. And I was like, what? People come for what? All of what?
Yeah.
And that was really dope. So you had all these different experiences and I got to be with different types of people. Mm-hmm. And that fueled my love of communication with people. Mm. And so then I moved inside of communication once I also moved on from theater and musical theater. I went into food with the James Beard Foundation. And there was really fantastic because you got to be with all different types of chefs for food, for like a journey. They call it a journey dinner.
Right.
And so we would have an appetizer, the main dish, and your dessert. And then the chefs and the assistants, which I would be assisting, would talk about how they prepared the food, where they prepared the food, how the food, like if it was lamb, what the lamb ate. So that's why the food tastes so good. So I've had all of these experiences with food and moving because all my interests were so vast. And I thought, you know, you have one life, use it, live it. Suck all the juice out.
And that's amazing because the one thing, and that's what I was going to ask you was because it said that you were also a boutique catering owner. So you would cook too, right?
Yeah, I would cook too. I would cook. I had a couple of shows. They were on YouTube and they were called A Taste of Nicole. Mm-hmm. And there were a few. It was A Taste of Nicole. And I would do like little, I would know how to make eggnog from scratch, how to do little things like one, or, and I would do cocktails occasionally. And then there was another show I did and it was about the taste of around New York. And I would find, in my opinion, the best food, like there's the best chocolate chip cookie, where I found that cookie. I would go to barbecue festivals and I would be at the barbecue festival and I would go around and I would interview them. And they would let me have their food. And then we would talk about that food. And then I would get behind the scenes and they would show me their smoke method. And it was really great.
You should have did one for chopped cheeses.
I did. That would have been in Bodegos. I would have been Bodegos. The best Bodegos. I should have done that.
That would have been.
Oh. Right? That would have been great. Yeah. We talked about chopped cheese.
Just saying.
And I did do some food catering a little bit here and there, but I found with the movement that I was able and I'm blessed to be able to do, I really found where my passions were. So I connected more to those. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, catering's great. Okay. It's good, but it's not necessarily the, like what I want to do all the time. I really want to connect with people and talk about what they make. Maybe me bring it back into my home and I make it for the masses and I'm sharing on a media platform somehow, you know? And I really, because I love being with people and knowing their cultures.
Yes, 100%.
You know? Yeah.
That's a New York thing. But anyway, So communication, right? So talk to me about like your love. I know you transitioned from, I mean, you've done everything, you know, from being a performance artist to culinary, you know, so talk to me a little bit about your love that you developed for communications.
That happened. It's funny because that connected with the media of me wanting to speak with people from all different cultures. It started there because I said to myself, and I worked with wonderful people, Julia Maddox. She also lives still in New York. We went to college together. And we would, she was part of the main person to edit and do all the taping. And we would go around together. And she had a vision. And at the time, I didn't have the same vision that she had. And she said to me, Nicole, I know a place that it's like a seminar. And she said that we could be on the same page, the same language, where we're coming from, not the what we do, but the from. And I was like, well, what is this, you know, thing? And she was like, well, it's Landmark Education. Some people might have heard of it. And they basically, it's an education, a development type of education that is more about who you be than what you do. So some people say, hey, I want this, I want to take a course, but I need my business to thrive. Well, in this type of learning, you might want your business to thrive, but in fact, what you get out of the course is how you work in your family. And you can map that on. So it's a little bit more personal than that's the surprise of it. It's like, it kind of catches you and you're like, whoa, what did I get myself into? And I did a course and from there I did other courses and it kind of built until I did this one course that made the difference. And it was called Access to Power, Power to Create. Now listen to those words, access to power, power to create, right? That made the biggest difference in my life because I learned not only distinctions to live inside of, but how to see the world where I could make a difference actively, ongoingly, and with my family, with myself. And then it just started about communications. And when I plugged in sometimes these distinctions, what unfolded was freedom, frankly. Freedom and enrollment and success, but how I experienced myself as a leader in this world. And that's what was like, whoa, what really matters to me is that people maybe who are maybe not outspoken, that they be seen, they be heard. And I was like, you know, it might come easy to someone like me, but for others, it might not. And I was like, but it matters to me that their voice is heard. And I think from there, all of about communication was important. And so I tended to lean and go into areas that needed that voice. You know? And so I would always be looking at the gaps in life, wherever I was, what job I had, what group of friends I was in. I would just be listening for the gap to move forward. Cause I always think gaps is opportunities. You know,
gaps are opportunities. So life coaching, transitioning over, you know, and as a life coach different, we know we do it differently, but communication is key in life coaching. So talk to me about your journey with life coaching, at the Goodwill. What do you do? And talk to me about all the good work that you're doing. Cause I want people to know.
Great. Oh, such great questions. So currently I work at the Goodwill, the Excel Center in Louisville, Kentucky, and you all can all look that up because they are 37 Excel centers in the United States now. And what the Excel Center is, it is a tuition-free high school with free daycare from the YMCA. We partner with the YMCA. So it's basically a second chance to have your life and have it turn out any way you want. It's your choice. It's second choice. It's a second time. And that's the part that I loved about it, is because we don't care why you stopped high school from the very beginning. That's the past. Okay. All we care about is your present and where you're moving to. And so we get people. So my position is a life coach. And what my job primarily is to remove barriers from my students that might come in at 10, you know, in the morning. And we come down to a 1 and a 2. So they can actually learn and get that education wherever they need to move forward to then graduate. So the end goal is graduation and get that high school diploma. And that's what they get. They get a high school diploma. And there's many facets of my job, which I love. It keeps me on my toes. It's pure communication. I would say 95% of my job on hand is being outside of my office and in the hallways. We speak about grad plan. We speak about social services, that maybe there's something that you need. Right now we're dealing with housing scarcity, food scarcity, and transportation scarcity. So those are, they come to me with those things. If I give them tools so they can do it themselves. When they still feel stopped, I then step in, and then I get support from the Goodwill, whether it be financial or a service provider. And we kind of mesh that in. And every student is different because everyone has different needs. And we literally dance. So my job is a lot of dancing. And then, of course, there's some administrative. But the real thing is that they know that they have a coach that stands for them, that listens to them great, and like thinks bigger than sometimes they can think of themselves, you know? And them to be heard and seen. And most importantly, my biggest tool that I give to my students when they're with me is advocacy. They must advocate for themselves. I don't care if it has to do with your healthcare, you going, or your kids' healthcare. That's really, really, really important. And really, when you're speaking to your teacher, if you need a second chance on that test, don't take no, take a maybe, and when can I do it next? You know,
that's problem.
And it's that kind of I call it the counter. Let's work on your counter. So that's what I bring to life coaching in my position.
Yeah, you might have to take this in different organizations. I mean, you might have to take this.
You know, I mean, I do know that I do. I will say this, that I'm really proud of. We do a thing called AB honor rolls. Yes. And for the second term, most of my students had the most out of all the life coaches because it's how I'm listening to them. But also I have really good students who want to, you know, learn. But when they don't show up for school, when they don't, I am on the phone texting or calling and being like, what's up? Like, I'm not going to woo-woo you. Like, what's up? What's in the way? What happened? Yeah. And they say whatever that's there. And I'm like, I'm going to be looking for you tomorrow. Like, seriously, because we got that grad plan, remember? And then I remind them of what their dream was. Because sometimes we forget, you know, we forget. We all forget. And they're like, oh, right. And I was like, remember, to get that thing, we got to show up for these milestones, right?
Yes. Yes. And I mean, from what I'm hearing is big talk. I love it that you're the number one life coach at the Goodwill Cell Center. That's that New York big talk. I love it. No, I love it. I love it. Number one.
I'm good. And I think that all of us, we have four, we all have the same shared commitment. And the shared commitment is that, one, they all get their high school diploma, but we all kind of go about it differently in how we get them there, but we're all a team in how we do it. It's definitely, sometimes it takes more than one or two life coaches for one, but we do.
Dream work. No, you're not teamwork, my dream
teamwork.
Work.
Yes. Yeah. Dream work. Yeah.
But be clear. You said you're number one out there in the, you know, in the life coaching streets. So, I mean, hey, that's what it is. If that's what it is, then that's what it is. You know, number one is number one, and everything else is what it is. So, so when it comes to dreams and things like that, and I think you just touched on it a little bit, we all forget our dreams, right? Because one, life, be lifin, as we would say, right?
Life. Well, the students, what I got, I didn't hear this before, but they say, Nicole, Miss Cooper, or Miss Nicole, life be lifin.
Yes.
And I'm like, for real? And they're like, no kidding today. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we are right now.
But it happens to all of us. And we go through a lot of different things, whether it could be childhood trauma, could be adulthood trauma. There's a lot of things that we grieve on a daily basis, not just death, you know. And so when it comes to, I guess, you know, like mental health and the things that you've gone in or have happened in your life and whatever the case is, how do you navigate like your own mental health and the things that you've gone through in your life to never really forget your dreams and to keep going? I think because a lot of us, especially in the Black and Brown community, we really suffer in silence with a lot of different things. And even though, despite what social media says and everybody's got it together and everybody's balling and everybody's on the beach and everybody's just living lavishly, right? We all are going through a lot of different things internally. Right. And so in your life, like, how have you managed your own mental health and to navigate those to where it never stopped you from, you know, going for your dreams?
Yeah, good questions. I have like three things that stand out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing is I like to create my environment at home. I really believe in creating a place that your nervous system can come down from, a place outside of your house, your apartment, whatever you have. I personally like feeling like I have a resort, i.e. the chair.
I told you about that. I said, ooh, wee. I said, yeah. I said, you live, sweet life. You live in that beach life.
I mean, it really gives off, and I have a lot of plants. It's great for oxygen. I love green. Green is for me, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the color green is the word for freedom. So I love green in spaces. I love black. It's a little sexy. I like the different textures. I like to keep velvet. These things, my senses, it forms. I like to have an excellent candle that awakens my senses. When I first walk in the door from outside and I come home from work, I always light a candle. So I'm very intentional with the candles that I buy, the smell and what it does for me. And also how you want to keep clarity and cleanliness. I'm pretty, you know, neat, but also color palette, picking those things matter. So I'm a visual person, which we all are. And it really, if you set yourself up that way, you'd be surprised how your mood changes throughout the day. The other thing that I do that I've done since I've left the seminars at Landmark, I have three amazing family friends. I call them, they're my family. And since we left, we have had a group on WhatsApp that we communicate on, and we have calls every week and we have clearing calls every day. And we've done that for now, maybe 5-6 years.
Wow.
And we keep evolving. We create, every year we close out a year and like, what's your year? What's your, like, your word of this year? And this year, my word is adventure.
Right.
So everything that I'm touching has adventure inside of it. Right. And these are people who listen to me great when I don't feel like I have it, I have the thing, they call me up and say, listen, this is who you are for me. They are an amazing group of folk who we all speak inside of distinctions. And we get this amazing opportunity to clear. So every day, and when we clear, we give up something and we put something in. And it makes a difference how we move through the day. That's really, really big. And then I think the last thing for me is taking time for myself. So once a week, I ask a question called, what are you doing for yourself today? Could be every day, but at least once a week. What are you doing for your day to celebrate you?
I love that.
And I do the thing. I don't know. It could be food. Yeah. I could make some lobster. It could be I watch that Netflix thing that I really wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or it's that stretching. It's going to that workout class that I'm dying to go to. I'm getting 7 to 8 hours sleep today. I'm getting hydrated today. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I'm meditating today. It doesn't matter what it is, but I'm conscious and I'm intentional about where I'm celebrating myself and what I'm celebrating myself, but asking the question and giving myself space to breathe, to be.
I love that because, you know, it says that, you know, one, your environment, you know, in the way that you live, where that you live in the environment that you live in, making your house a home, and the environments that you need, right? For you, you know what I mean? It's a beach, you know, it's a nice resort, all inclusive, you know? So, you know, and
I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, and then being aware of having a village is important. Having a safe space is important. Having a village is incredible. Right. And then, you know, holding yourself accountable to do something for you. And I think that is important because a lot of us can do things for everyone else, be there for everyone else, be there for your parents, be there for your grandparents, be there for your children, be there for your friends. Right. But then when it comes to you, it's like, I got nothing left. Right. And so it's super important that you do what it is that you do and you hold yourself accountable to watch that Netflix show. You're getting a little expensive.
Well, you know, I just really believe
that's the point.
I believe that when you do ask yourself questions, right, and you be the best you can be, however you're going to show up in your life, you really bring the best of you, which means there's ripple effects, right? Because now you are putting that out in the world. Now you're connecting. I'm connecting to you. So now you're going to go out in your life. And you're going to do ripples because now you are putting out goodness and intentionality and great vibes.
Yes.
And you're going to be the best you can be. But if you are kind of like not, that's what I said from the very beginning, you know, a question mark, which there's nothing wrong with being a question mark at times, but there is something to be said about, you know, you're standing up. And you be seen and heard, and that you're worthy. You know, you're worthy of being heard and seen. I'm important. I have something important to say. That's important. And I think that it has ripples effects in that, if you allow it.
It definitely does. So kind of want to get into your message, you know, see, move, and manage. What is that? Like, what is that mantra? What is that message? What is that good word, according to the book of Nicole? What is that? That's what
Well, that actually comes from the one of the communication courses, See, Move, Manage. And it always has stuck with me because as long as I've been coaching, it reminds me of my bank account. And I just believe if you don't know what's in your bank account, you can't change it. You don't know nothing about it.
Right.
So if you can't see it, then you cannot move it. And that means you can't manage it. So if you want to shift something, you're dreaming upon a star, not having a plan and how you're going to move that. You can move anything, but you got to see it to then move it, to manage it. You see what I mean? And like, I know if I want to change something or in my bank, well, we all do it. Like, hey, I wonder, you just got paid and you had a big bill to pay. And then you're like, I wonder if I've got enough to put. You look at your bank app, do you not? So you look at it to see, oh, do I have enough funds? Okay, great. I do. So I can do that thing, but I can only do so much of that thing because whatever what that says, you can't overdraw, right? So then you can then get your thing. And it's just that's how I feel about life. If I want to design, I want to see what I want instead of going to TJ Maxx and buying all the things, wasting money because I can't see anything. I'm just buying stuff, right? I have no plan. It would be wonderful if I look at magazines, YouTube, different things and going, oh, that's the palette that I want. That's the color scheme I want. Okay, great. Now I see it. Now let's see. Move it. Where can I get it? Let me do some research. Amazon, da, da, da. Okay, then I can manage it. Now I can buy it. Now I can place it in my house. Opposed to if you went the other way, you probably have to be take back stuff. Or you're wasting stuff because the next year you want a different thing. But if you look at what is you, like an innately you, like some people love black, the color black. So a lot of things are black. You know, I innately love black, white, green. And brown. I innately love those are calming colors for me. So, and I'm just taking this as colors or design, but it's in design, it's in food, it's in when you go to the gym, see, move, manage. So if you don't look at where you are, whether you weigh yourself or whether you don't, and you just see yourself, you take a picture, then you can't move anything, and then you can't manage what you were, right? So you don't know where you were if you just don't have the what so. You always need the what so from the beginning so you can move effect and the game, the name of the game is effectiveness. That's what we're playing. We're talking effectiveness. I'm not saying we have a game because you can play any kind of game and win it because you know how to play it. But I'm talking about being effective. So I like to get in and move it. And there's only three steps. So I'm like, just get her done. That's just how I feel about it. And it's easy to remember, you know?
And I think the key thing about that seeing part, especially since it's the first part, is to be honest about what you're seeing, right? I think sometimes a lot of us we be in denial. You look at that scale, you're like, that ain't too bad.
Well, I mean, and that's the
It's bad,
part.
right?
See, that's the
Right, I
part.
mean,
And I
that's a real
tell you,
thing.
your doctor, the see move manage is real big when you go to your doctor
Oh yeah.
because they're really going to be like, remember, you see something, remember we talked about that thing,
Yeah,
high blood
yeah.
pressure, whatever it is. Okay. And how are you managing it? You're moving. Are you moving it? How are you moving that? What are you putting in to move it?
Yeah.
And then we got to man. And then you got to go back to them and be like, I actually
Right.
didn't see move manage.
Right. And I think
And
that's what I mean about the honesty. Because sometimes you go, oh, I went to the doctor, I had high blood pressure. Or that's because I have white coat syndrome. Or that's because, no, ginger ale doesn't heal everything. Okay. Like, look, let's be honest. Us black folk, look, be honest about your stuff, right? If you're having mental health issues, be honest about it. Right? See it, right? Manage
that's
it. Figure
right.
out how to manage it if you need a therapist, whatever that is for you. Manage it, right? I
That's
think,
right.
we've got to get to a point of what we see it is honesty. Because what I've realized, even about therapy, I just go here for a second. Therapy removes the mask of who you think you are and it shows you who you really are. That's the seeing part, right? That's the see. Okay, so now I can
Yes.
see who I really am. Now I know what work I really need to do. Not about what my people tell me, oh, T, you the man. Oh, T, you the man.
Right.
Oh, you this. Oh, oh T, you the. No, hold on. I got some stuff I got to take care of. I gotta see it. See it for myself, right? Because I have to be
Yes.
honest with me about what I see. About I'm
That's right.
seeing me pushing donuts in my face.
That's right.
I see it. I can't just say, oh, it didn't happen. No, I so then when I step on the scale and I see what I see,
You
that's the
see.
honesty part. Not, this
That's
is why.
this is so true. And I have to say, maybe I should make a sign before it, but see move manage is for those who want to see it. I really think that I should put because again, I can't assume that others are like, oh, like you said, hey, some people don't want to be honest. You want to be okay. That conversation isn't for you because you're not, you're right now, you're not committed to wanting to be honest. So, so that conversation isn't for you. When you decide you want to be honest, well, then that conversation's for you.
Exactly. Right. Because that's the thing. Oh, Terrence, I don't know why I can't find a good man. And I don't know why I can't find a good woman. You're obviously not seeing yourself because everybody can't be wrong, right? Everybody can't be wrong. It can't always be everybody but you, right? So when you look at yourself objectively and say, you know what, there are some things I need to work out. Maybe I talk too crazy to people. Maybe I yell, I scream. Maybe I'm just drama filled. Maybe it's me. Maybe there are things in my life I need to change. So I need to see me who I really am.
Or maybe, and also maybe habits. I'm getting, and also like, maybe I'm, you know, too defensive off, you know?
Yes.
And like, if you've heard more than three people, I have a rule. Like if more than three people are saying something to you,
right,
you need to check that out.
And that's the thing. And that's the one thing I love about the seeing part is just because if you're honest with yourself, if you're honest, because some people are not honest with themselves.
So true.
This stuff don't stink. I'm perfect. I'm good. It's everybody else, right? But when you're honest with yourself about your own productivity, about your own habits in life, especially if they're not the best habits in life, right? If you have your goal set, okay, well, I want to drop 50 pounds. Okay, cool. But we eating Popeyes and fried chicken and all, like, right? But if you can honestly see that about yourself and say, you know what? My diet is not the best. And that's what I love about See, Move, Manage, right? Because if you can honestly look at yourself and say, I need to audit this about myself.
That's right.
It's that See, Move, Manage is going to move mountains. It's going to be
it's
amazing.
Gonna move.
It's going to be amazing for you, right?
Yes. And also what I love about it is that part of that, the See, Move, and the manage, depending on what the thing is that you're up against and you want to, or your dreams, whatever the thing is building team. Because like you mentioned something like, okay, eating the fried chicken at the Popeyes, and you're like, ah, so, okay, you're looking at, you're being honest here. You're looking is like, you know, I can't fit in those jeans anymore. And I know I'm going to the doctor and I know they're going to say something. So I want to avoid it. So I'm going to move. And see this, and this thing isn't, the conversation of See, Move, Manage isn't a small conversation. And I say it big because this has to do with health and how you live, how you thrive. Or you thrive or you survive. Because see, if I don't manage, we're talking about food. If I don't manage myself, then I'm going to be running again and again from the doctor's appointment that I should have made 6 months ago. And now I might have some kind of brain aneurysm because I didn't manage that. And then I'm wondering why stuff's happening to the body and my body's aching. And I'm like, whoa, my liver's failing. All these things. And part of that was when to manage it, you didn't want to see it or you saw it, but then you're like, I don't know how to manage it. Okay, cool. That's why you then bring in team to then support.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of ways to manage, but that See, Move, Manage is really important because it can get you in trouble. Meaning, you know how like we always put off our doctor's appointments and we're talking about, in our community that they're like, it's not that important.
Bring
but if
some
you have diabetes and high blood pressure in your family, there's something to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all put out like historically, I think we've put off having tough conversations, especially when it comes to just medical things, you know, drink some Tussin and go to bed, drink some ginger ale and go to bed. You'll feel better in the morning. No, hell no, no, we're not gonna feel better in the morning, right? We stray away from having tough conversations, I feel, especially in our community, especially when it comes to family things, family dynamics, family secrets that ruin families and things like that. we stray away from having tough conversations, right? You know, there could be that one person in the family that's just hard to deal with. You know what I'm saying? But nobody wants to say anything because nobody wants to ruffle feathers, right? But somebody, there's always gonna be one person in the family that's gonna say, you know what, I've had enough. And we're gonna see about this, right? Because we need to make you see you and who you are, right? But historically, we've got to be able to see us differently and honestly, so we can have these tough conversations about who we really are,
Who we really are.
where there needs room for improvement. And I
Well,
think.
and also, like, I really think that these conversations that are challenging, and they can be challenging,
Yes.
but to go a little further, I always love to go a little further.
Yeah, let's go.
And where I go is that what are you saying to yourself that you can't deal? Like I that's a communication that I am not willing to be with. So, I don't know, we could talk about weight. I don't care what thing is, but it's the same universal is that whatever that tough conversation is, you want to really look at what are you saying to yourself? So I could be saying, I can't deal. Whatever that means. I can't deal. I'm not strong. That's also what you're saying. I am weak. That might be something you're also saying. I don't know what I would do because I don't trust myself once I hear the truth. These are all things that you could be saying to yourself. And then, so when you speak to the world, they're like, you know what? We can't talk to her about that because she gets a little defensive. She gets a little, we can't. So we're gonna dip. We're gonna die. So then I've taught you how to treat me because I've trained you. I'm not talking about that. So you never talk to me about it because I've trained you. I'm not gonna talk about it. And that's how we do with a lot of conversations. But where we could flip it inside of communications is. And if we want to be honest, this is if you want and you're seeking. I call these the seekers. So this conversation is for the seekers. Okay. The seekers, you would say to yourself, huh? Well, all right. So who am I though? I am afraid to have these conversations. I am strong. You got this. You're not going to break. And you can actually handle it because in your past, someone said something to you that was really wrong and really nasty and not cool, and you still survived it, so you can survive this. So sometimes this is part about team too, if you bring in team. But if you're saying something to yourself, because I'm a firm believer in how you treat outside of the world is how you're treating your inside, and like how it's just a reflection of how you feel about yourself. So
I
the
love
actions
that.
that you're doing in life are as a reflection of how whatever you're saying to yourself, I'm capable, I'm smart, I got this, or I don't have this, I'm weak, I'm super scared. It's okay to be scared, but you can just do it anyway, and that's called courage.
Yes.
You
Man.
know, I always ask myself when there's a breakdown, what are you saying to yourself, Nicole?
So my mind's flowing here. So we're going from see, move, manage with ourselves, right? And I love that because it has a lot of accountability for us. I want to switch it a little bit. See, move, manage to others, right? When it comes to boundaries, because sometimes there are people in life, right, who interrupt your peace, who interrupt you as a person, right? It could be a friend, it could be a coworker, it could be family, right? Whatever those things are for you, right? And you've reached a point of peace, you're okay. But then this person or people, whoever it is, always tends to kind of disrupt you, your flow, right? And there's a lack of accountability for them. So they can't see themselves. They can't see themselves, right? And I've noticed a lot. And even especially in Black families, right? It could be all families, but I just know in Black families, a lot of times we don't want to have those rough or tough conversations because of what their reaction might be, right? So everybody tiptoes around this person because they're afraid to tell them the truth, right? So, as the individual that it affects, how do you see, move, and manage that kind of a situation when it comes to your boundaries?
That's a good, that's a good question. How do you manage that around? Well, first, I'm a big believer in self, meaning only me. I can only control me. Okay. I can only control me. So taking that into effect, I say I have the right to move around or disengage if I think I need to do that. So see, I see that that person does not want help, does not want to see anything. I got it. And if you think on it, go a little further, it's the same thing with coaching. You don't talk to anyone who is a big fat no. Like right now, some people can't hear at the moment. Doesn't mean that they won't ever. It just means at that moment, they're not hearing. Okay, great. So I'm not going to coach you because you can't hear me. I'm not going to waste my time. And we don't want to do that. So it also has to do with you intellectually, like moving your mind. So you have to be like, okay, so I see something in my family, and I see at that moment that person's not open. Sometimes they will be open, and that's when you take that moment, okay? You take that conversation. But when they're not open, then you go, okay, you have to say to yourself, they're not ready. Just because you're ready doesn't mean other people are ready, you know?
Next,
And you have to
next.
be responsible. You have to be responsible for that communication and how you leave them, right? Because, you know, it's the same thing of apologizing. Let's say when you see this a lot inside of relationships, when a person, when they break up and a person's like, I'm good. Let's just have a conversation with that opposite person. But that other person might not be receptive. You have to respect that part because they're not where you are. And it's the same thing. You have to see if they're ready. You have to ask. That's the other thing. You have to ask. You can't assume anything at all, especially when it comes inside of like communication and you want to support something or open something up. You got to check in if they're even open to the possibility. And then, after you, so if you see something in your family and they're open to it, then okay, great. Engage and come say, hey, listen, this is me. This is how I would be like, hey, listen, so I see that in the past, you know, just I would just want you to know, Mike, I love you. And you really have to get to, and I think in life, we need to really get to speaking straight because sometimes we talk around things. So my commitment is that you know I love you and that I want to drop something on you and I want to support that. Okay, great. So that's what I want. That's the outcome. Okay, so let's go back to the front. What I want to do is first I want to tell you and acknowledge you and say that I love you and that my commitment for you is that you have all that your heart desires. Okay, got it. Now, I also see that you are up against something. All right. I know I can support in that. You have my trust. So it's me and you. We're a team. We're doing this thing. Okay, great. So whatever that thing is, now I can move that thing. We can agree on whatever the thing is. Then we can move it because now we're talking. Okay, got
I
it.
love it.
Now we're going back and forth. Now to manage it is how do we want to proceed moving forward? It doesn't have to be an end because sometimes some stories take longer than others. So sometimes it's not a one and done conversation. Sometimes it's ongoingly, especially the bigger the problem, it's an ongoingly thing. So expectations can be managed by taking small milestones. And that is the managing part. So you're not always going to be like, oh, we did that thing. No. If it's a specific big thing or family, it's an ongoing thing. It's like being in a relationship, man or woman, woman to man, all that is all about communication and ongoingly conversation. Just because I have a conversation one and two times does not mean I can't revisit that again or that we're not going to change inside of that. And you got to keep in mind every conversation is ongoingly. And if you bamboozle yourself and think, oh, I had that conversation and I'm done, well, that's like telling a 5-year-old stop. That doesn't work.
Yeah, you can be
Are they
saying that
gonna
for a
remember
long
that?
time.
Like, come on,
Yeah.
stop. You know what I mean?
I can appreciate that breakdown. And just because when thinking about just the just your mantra, I'm like, man, this could apply to so many different things in life. Right? Like that see, move, manage. You know what I mean? Like it's there's a lot of
There's so
ways.
much in it. It's so much in it. And the thing is that it is full of possibilities. That's why I love it so much, because you can use it on anything. You can use it when you are teaching young kids how to clean up their room, why you're cleaning up your room, what it provides, clarity, cleanliness, organization, sense of belonging, sense of self. People who clean and do, especially when they're young, they clean all their stuff. They have a sense of self. That's why it's important to give young kids chores, because when they complete them, they feel accomplished. Opposed to, oh, I'll do that thing because I love you. Okay. Love can look in another way too. It could be the opposite. I'm giving you this chore to give you something actually to move your mind and how you can feel about yourself. There's just real celebration in these areas. And see, we manage is literally across the board. I think it's in education, it's in relationships,
Ooh, see, hold on a
it's
second. Hold on
in
one second now, because the next thing I was about to ask you now is about communication in relationships. Ooh wee. And you came out and you just said relationship. I said that was it's right here. It's right here. It's a New York thing. You gotta understand and be clear. So
Oh.
communication in relationships. So when I pop on sometimes on social media, sometimes I won't lie to you, I need to take a break from it because the toxicity of the bickering and back and forth between men and women has been astounding over these last couple of years about relationships, men roles, women roles, marriage, divorces, divorce rates. I mean, I have seen some of the most ugliest discourse between men and women. And how they're actually communicating with each other online. And I can imagine if this is how they're communicating with each other online, I can imagine what they're looking like behind closed doors in regular conversations, right? I don't know what you're seeing, but I can just tell you what I've been seeing. And there seems to be a big disconnect between men and women. And from your eye view, where do you think the disconnect when it comes to communication is between men and
It's actually what we've touched on before, it that people be seen and heard. And it's the disconnect is that they're not being seen and heard. And that's why they're bickering, because they're not seen nor heard. And it goes back and forth. So I guess the real thing is that what are you saying that you're not being seen? So what's in the way? That's the question. What's in the way?
Trauma.
Okay. Well, trauma, protecting, defending, judgment, righteousness. Okay, great. So once we start looking at what is between us, right? Then you really it, then there's somewhere to go. Because when I said giving up judgment, righteousness, protecting, defending, I mean, that's a load of things. Like old models in my head, I'm giving up. I'm protecting it because that's how I was raised, or that's what I know. It might not be right, but that's where I'm coming from. Now you got another person who maybe came differently from that. So now, okay, so so we now know that there's opposition. Now we're in a fight. And why can't you see or hear me? I'm saying this thing, I'm saying this thing. Okay, let's get to what we're not saying. I love you. I don't want to fight. We're on the same team. Okay. But I don't think when you're fighting, you know you're on the same team. So I really believe in, I remember when I was inside of relationships, romantic relationships or even any other kind of relationships, I would stop myself, coach myself, and say, Nicole, what is your commitment? And what I mean by that is, are you committed to being right? Or do you want this person and you all want peace and harmony and you want connectedness? I want connectedness, whatever connectedness means to you. So whatever we're doing, we're not achieving that. We're not achieving connectedness. So what's in the middle is that our stand, you're right, I'm right. So we can't be, we won't ever hear or see each other because you're right and I'm right. So my commitment, but if I said to you, if me and you were arguing and we kept on arguing and I stopped and I said to myself, my commitment is that I want peace with you and I want to be connected to you, I would immediately stop arguing. Now, it doesn't mean that what I said is not valid.
Right.
It just means that I don't want to continue this way of communication. And then I would stop you and I would be like, what do you really want? Do you want to be connected to me? Okay. So whatever you're saying and what I'm saying, I bet we could get together if we stood inside of connection. Mm. So let's change our words. Connection. Mm-hmm. Now we can. So what are you saying about connection? Okay. What are you saying about connection? You probably would break that fight. And I'm just saying, these are not all be alls of like how to do it.
Of course.
But it is how I communicate when I'm triggered, i.e. fight, i.e. opposition.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, sometimes if I can't stop myself, I tap. Tapping is really good. It's like a soothing thing, but I tap when I'm like, I can't, oh my God, that person. And what it does is, because tapping calms your nervous system down. There's a whole thing about tapping.
Sometimes you need a big tap.
Sometimes you need a big tap. A huge tap. And then sometimes when I can't get that done, or let's say if you can't get that thing done, we just say this. Can we pause? We need to pause. We'll come back, but we need to pause. Like, because you need to just get yourself situated. You might need to call somebody to clear. Or you might just to take a walk. And my favorite part is spin. Stand up and spin. When you physically do something for your body, it changes sometimes your mind.
Wish I could do that. Somebody's work meeting. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'd be like, can we pause?
Right. Sometimes you gotta pause. And then sometimes you gotta tap. And you have to be like, I gotta. And then the easiest thing is where people don't know what's happening, you could just say, I need to go to the bathroom. It's as easy as that. Hey, I need to. But the point is, you're removing yourself. You are being cause in the matter.
Yeah.
And you have to be cause. Now, if you're asking for someone to tell you something, then you're going to be waiting and you're going to be having oppositions for a long time.
Very true. Very true. It's interesting because I've just seen so
much. What do you think? I'm curious to what your thought. Come on now.
So when it comes to, you know, communication for me, I think it requires you to get out of yourself and look at the opposition, right? And see what the end goal is, right? So I'll just say, like, for example, if it's a girlfriend or whatever the case is, sometimes, and I'll be honest, right, about how I was in the past, right? I've always felt I was a good communicator. I know I was, right? I know I am a good communicator, but historically in the past, my thing with conflict was, I don't start it, but I finish it. You don't want me to finish it. If I finish it, it's whatever at this point, right? And so for me, my communication style was just to have this communication. Let's just talk. I don't need to get into the whole, you know, yelling, screaming, this, that, you know, nastiness. That was never my style, right? Because I can get my point across without being that way. But if you want to go that way, well, right? We can do that, right? Right? And at that point, I took pleasure on finishing the argument. No matter if you want to get sarcastic, dirty, let's do it. That wasn't my preference. but if you want it, you can get it too. That was my thing. Right? What I've learned about that part is like with me getting deeper into mental health, with me getting deeper into understanding of people, for me, I was like, man, half this stuff sometimes is not even really about me. It's not about me. Right? Sometimes how I respond also in conflict matters. Right? Sometimes I may not like what you said. Hold on now. Let's not get it twisted. I may not like what you said to me, but let me find out what the root cause is. Let me find out what that is from your eye view. Hold on. Because now if you say something to me that sound a little crazy, you know, the New York come out is, you know, is a little different. You know what I'm saying? So for me now, I'm like, what is this person going through? What's the history also? Right? Are they normally like this? Or is this just a one-off? Right? And also simply, is this a person that I really need to be with? Because that is accountability as well. Because if honestly, if this isn't a person I really need to be with because we just can't do this and communicate well, that could be my boundary. Hey, I'm not with this part of it. I can't live with somebody who wants to communicate in such a nasty way or boisterous way or whatever that is, right? And they have no intentions of changing, right? So I think for me, I've had to learn to really get to the root cause of what the issues are. And that has helped me a lot more in some of these issues because to me, I would never start it, but I would light I would pour the whole thing on fire, gasoline, pour it on. It's now we're not even arguing about what it was
The thing
before.
is,
Now you're arguing about what I said and how I responded to you, right? So for me, it's like, hey, what is the root cause of this, right? When they're going a little low, let me take a chance. Okay, you know, as Miss Obama would say, you know, go a little higher, right? And say, hey, what is this about? Because this is not really like normally you, or what is this about? And normally what I find that response is, I'm sorry. Like after, you know, could be a minute or two or hour or whatever. It's like, you know, like that really wasn't about you. I'm going through stuff internally. I'm going through my day at work, or it could be family issues, could be medical problems, could be mental health things. It could be triggers that have gone on during the day. And now, since you're the closest person to me, now I get the brunt of it, right?
Yes.
So,
Yes.
but it does not give that person the right to bleed all over you. And I think that's where the clear communication is of, hey, what can I do to support you to help this part of you, right? But
Right.
also, for me as a man, my accountability piece is this. Even though a person could be understanding of those things, it is still up to Terrence to figure out what his triggers are so that I don't bleed all over my partner. Right? It's my responsibility to go into therapy. It's my responsibility to figure those things out on my own. Of course, your partner is going to be there to support you, this and that, but sometimes they're not qualified. As much as we like to emotionally dump on people, sometimes they're just not qualified, right?
But
And
also,
more important.
who wants to keep everybody's stuff? That wasn't something that
Right.
we all signed up for, right? You have
Right,
to be
right.
responsible with your communication.
Right. And there are some things about safe spaces that are incredible. And I believe your partner should be a safe space. What
Yes.
I'm speaking to or speaking of is, listen, I'm going through a lot of stuff right now for as an individual. In order for me even to be able to communicate this properly to you, I need to get some help. Therapy. Cool. Now going to therapy says, okay, blah, blah. It gives you extra tools. So now when it's time to communicate certain things to your spouse, it's different. They're not
Yes.
catching the brunt of your stuff. It's just, oh, well, this is what's going on with me, life, whatever the case is, right? Because now you also have a support system and a therapist, or whatever the case, that can help you navigate and give you the tools. right? So that you're not just bleeding on your spouse just because you live with them, and or you're just or because you talk to them all the time, and now you're snapping at everybody, and everybody's getting it. Your kids is getting it, your spouse is getting it, right? Because
Right.
we all have that responsibility, that accountability to kind of handle your stuff so that you can be able to communicate properly. So I view communication in vastly in a couple of different ways when it comes to my own accountability and how I choose to be understanding and how now I choose to be like, hey, listen, what is the root cause of you? A lot of people don't understand mental health. They don't understand triggers. They don't understand trauma. So, and I was that person where I was just like, yo, like, what's your problem? Oh, so you want smoke? I'm here to give you a smoke and fire, right? I wasn't looking for it, but now that I'm here, we gonna have it, right? And now, you know, it's never, you know, it's a lot of work though to where it's like, okay, because it takes a lot of shedding an ego to take somebody's stuff and still respond to them in love,
A hundred,
right?
100,
Now,
one
but
hundred.
if you can do that, you'll see a change in your partner and you'll see a change in the way that you guys communicate because it'll be a lot healthier,
Yes.
right? Or you'll see versus not willing to really even do the work of change. So maybe this is not the position I need to play in their life, and maybe it's a boundary for me, right? So I think for
Right.
me, when it comes to communication, it's very multifaceted, but as the person that I'm being communicated to, I view it a certain way, and then as the communicator, I view it in a certain way too. Now, to where I try to be the most healthiest I could possibly be as being the communicator and also the person that is receiving the communications. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying I'm being anybody's doormat. It ain't what I'm saying. So if you see me out
That's
there in the streets, not Jesus, not me. What I'm trying to say is I'm a lot more understanding. As a person who understands a lot more about mental health and are trying to find a healthier way to communicate and foster that type of a home, that's what I'm saying.
Yes. That's
Yeah.
well said. That's well said. Thank you for sharing that. Because I
Yeah,
think
yeah.
that the viewers out and it's really important that you mentioned mental health, because I think that that is absent in some of our in general in conversations and especially with our healthcare system in America. I mean, I don't know what the I don't know what this is about, but like it doesn't exist, but it does. And mental health comes on every street and it
Yeah,
touches everyone.
like when I said earlier about people grieving every day and people just think it's death, it's like no, like when I, it's like I always say, like look at 2023 and look at the job market in 2023. Hundreds of thousands of people lost their job. Economy is, you know, inflation, people losing their job, right? There's lots of people out here that's grieving what they lost. A lot of these people have what? They have children. They have sick parents. They might be sick themselves. And you lost your job. That's grief. A lot of people, the turnover trying to find a new job could be 12 to 15 months or 12 to 18 months, right? And if now, if you're the breadwinner, let's just say you're a man, right? You got your wife and kids looking at you. What's next? And you sitting here like, you're gonna tell me that's not heavy? No, that's heavy, right?
Yes.
And so a lot of
Yes.
times it's frustrating. Sometimes that can make it become short-tempered. Sometimes because you're feeling so many different emotions, you're feeling less than, you're feeling shamed, you're feeling angry, right? You're feeling a lot of different things. You feel like, you know what, maybe my spouse can do better elsewhere. My kids deserve better because you went through a season.
That's
And it
right.
may not seem like a season for you. It may seem like an eternity for you because of what's going on in this particular person's household. So what
Yes.
do? They a lot of people take it out on the people that they live with or who's closest to them, right? Because they're grieving. And a lot of the times they need help. They need additional help, right? And now from the opposition's perspective, your wife is like, ah, Well, it's okay. Well, we're gonna make it. It's gonna be okay. Like she could be your biggest cheerleader, and she's gonna be cool. Like I'll get a job, and I'm gonna do this. And some women feel like, well, I've been there, and I've done this, and I've said that it's okay, and I'll get a job. But internally, that man is wrapped up in his own feelings in terms of, hey, I want to be that person for this family, and I cannot.
What
I'm
does that
ashamed.
say about me?
Yes, I am ashamed of
What is
me.
that? What does
I
it
don't
make it
like what I
mean?
see in the mirror anymore. I'm failing
Right.
as a father, failing as a husband, whatever that is. So how do you, and then men and communication sometimes it's not the best. So how do you communicate that? But then now you're fighting with your ego to say, I can't verbally say that out loud. So I rumble within my feelings. And then men
Yes.
get sick or they turn to different vices, alcohol, drugs, or whatever that vice is for them. And then a woman's like, well, why can't they just talk to me? Right? I'm here. But for the man, he's like, I'm already lacking. I'm already putting this financial burden on my family because I've lost my job. I don't want to add to the emotional part of it and dump on the person. Right? So men hold it in.
Yeah, this
Hold
is
it
true.
in, right? And
True.
see, and if you
And
look at
that's
the
a
men, just
communication.
right. And if you look at the men's suicide rates, it tells a story. It tells a story, right? So that's why I say it's up to us, even men, women, to get the help that you need for yourself. So even if it's you don't want to, put everything on your house, or your spouse, your kids, get a therapist, or have a safe space. Have a couple of brothers or have a couple of friends that you could just talk to or whatever the case is, unload. But then also the reason why I say therapist is because sometimes your friends, as great as they are for safe spaces, and you should have that, the therapist also gives you plans of action to go forward. Right?
Yes.
And sometimes life gets so
Yes.
heavy, your friends could be a sounding board, but a therapist will be a sounding board and their coach, a quote unquote coach, but it's going to be homework to do to kind of
Yes.
get you to where you need to get to, and will challenge you to channel your emotions better in the most uncomfortable ways. But if you can get through it, there's light at the tunnel, right?
Yes.
And
Yes.
I think that is where, for me, I always advocate for therapy for men, because I don't know how we got on the subject, but
No,
when I
this is
say
good. I'm like,
advocating
I
for
like your
men,
perspective.
because most men, by the time they get into therapy, you know what it is? It's when they're married and their wife says, I'm bringing you to therapy, and pretty much the therapist is gonna show you, right? Why? So I
Proving a
so
point, like, right?
so
I'm right, you're wrong.
right. So why would I want to go to therapy? So you don't ever do anything wrong. The wife is always right. Happy wife, happy life. So why am I going? Why waste the money on you just telling me that I'm wrong? You tell me I'm wrong every day. I'm not paying for that. I can hear that at home for free. Oh, free, right?
Yeah.
Because when you paint the therapist as the boogeyman who's pretty much going to side with the wife, that's the man's first bout with therapy 9 times out of 10, right? That's why I encourage men to get to start therapy early as an individual first, so you know what it looks like and you know what it's supposed to be. Right. And speaking to quite a few therapists, they told me a lot of times when it comes to marital therapy, women will drop out of marital therapy as soon as the roles are flipped to accountability for them. They will stop going or try to change therapists, which is quite amazing, right? So for me, I always just say that's where the seeing free, when you say see, that's what I mean by accountability for men and women to see themselves and say, hey, what is the goal here? If the goal is for the relationship to work, that means as a woman, I have to hold myself accountable. And as the man, I have to hold myself accountable too. If I
Yes.
want this marriage or this relationship to work, therapy isn't a place for, I'm going to show you. Therapy
To
is
be
a
right,
place for
to be
us.
right and righteous, because at the end of the day, that's again, I call that old model. I mean, listen, to be right, like I want to be right while you send your husband to therapy, it's not out of your commitment. it is out of you being righteous.
Yeah, ego.
And it's just like, really? Is there any light of that time? Anytime there's any of that, it's just a dead subject, I think. Like, you're both wasting your time. You want to be right, and you want, then she needs, you need to be right all by yourself over there.
Yeah. You wonder why men don't want to go to therapy? Yeah. Because you're painting it like, hey, it's going to be me and a therapist versus you. That's the way a lot of it is being painted.
And that's not enrolling at all. It's not enrolling when you really want. But that's the thing. I think that once again, we come back to truth.
Yes.
We come back to see. Listen, married women, I don't care who you are, and other people, if you're not willing to really be honest with yourself, it's funny because I've been watching, you know, the Bravo, the Housewives. And this one particular housewife, this is on, I think, the Miami Housewives.
Okay.
And this particular housewife, there's been many, but she's going through a divorce. Now, I saw this miles away, and even last season. My point is that she's now doing all this different action, and she's wondering, she's asking herself, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening? And I always say, when people say, why is it happening? I always tend to say, why not? Like, what makes, why not? Like, things happen to all people.
Yeah.
All the time. So the idea of what is it, if you're a good person, things are not supposed to happen. If you have a certain job, money, what status, whatever. Point is, it comes to all of us. So that question, that's a wrong question to be asking, for one. Mm-hmm. The other part is, I think I've been I've been very aggravated with her specifically because this whole thing about C.
Mm-hmm.
I said to myself, sweetie, you know something you're not saying. I know you are, because you're acting like you didn't see any of it. And the thing is that I think she convinced herself, because I know a lot of times when you aren't straight with yourself and you really look at what might be not only the cause or the root, but just what's happening at that moment, what I'm thinking is, you then have to then do work on yourself. And nobody's like, I don't want to go through that. It's that over there. It's not me. And if it is me, when did that happen? When? So have I been that inauthentic for like 10 years then? Is that what it means? Oh my. So then what does my life mean? Who am I in the world? Like, right. And it goes through this little spin. And so then we're like, no, forget it. It's you. You're the problem. Forget it. You're the problem. I am not willing to go back like that and lie and be like, you were, you know. And we say, that's the whole thing about, and I call identity. We say stuff to ourselves, and that's how I know when there's an action being done, I say, what did you say to yourself? Especially like in this country, when we see shooters. And I say, what did they say to themselves? They must have said something to themselves. Because you always say something to yourself before you do your action. That's what gives the action. Is what you're saying to yourself. Sometimes life, society, that it says it to you too. But you say something to yourself before, and it's usually an alignment. Like, I'm unworthy. Yeah, nothing's right. I can't have it. I'm never going to come up. Yeah, everyone is crap. Or whatever. Yeah. And then you act accordingly to that action.
Right.
And then the action happens. And the people are like, how did this happen? I'm like, all you have to do is track backwards. All you have to do is go backwards. And you'll see that society, well, yeah, there's many problems happening, you know? And then you're like, oh, and then we have our gun problem today. Okay, got it. So that's easy. So you made it easy for anyone to get it. Okay, cool. And I think mentally not good about myself, or someone's done something wrong and scorned me and traumatized me. And now I have a gun. Now I know who I'm coming after. It's like that. And then you have the result.
Hence, yes.
In other countries, they have a different result because they see something different. Yes. They see a different gap than we do in this country.
Yes, 100%. And I'll wrap it like this. Two things. One, How can people reach out to you to book a speaking session or speaking engagement? Like, how can people reach out to Nicole and say, "Hey, I want you to speak at my event." Like, how can the people reach you?
How can they reach me?
Yeah.
I am on Instagram most times. I'm also on Facebook too. And my Instagram handle is Nicole N. Cooper. You can message me. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions and have a chat. Same thing with Facebook. Those are the two media areas that I'm, and I'm also in LinkedIn too.
Yes.
But you know,
Big
I'm
and
also on
big.
LinkedIn,
Yeah.
which is
All
great. And you
organizations
can,
that are
right? And
on
you can
LinkedIn.
message me, which is amazing. And that handle's there as well. And yeah, those are the three areas. You should meet
Yeah.
me.
And LinkedIn definitely is a great tool to have and to use, and all the companies and nonprofit organizations. And look, if you need a number one life coach, it's what it is. Definitely reach out to Nicole
Thank you.
to speak, because she drops a lot of gems. And so the one thing I'll end with you and is, if you have any advice for, I would say, a young person out there who's trying to find their way, who still has some dreams, but life be life, and right? What are, or you know what? I won't just regulate it to young people, for anyone who has dreams and goals, aspirations, and life be life, and life hasn't been great, and things are rough right now. What kind of advice would you have, or word would you have for them?
The words that I would have to say is there's a few. And I always say this, be your own advocate, because no one can be more of an advocate than yourself. Because when you're an advocate, you actually tend to believe in yourself. So the other part of that, even if you're not super confident, and you are a big question mark in this world, which is fine. It's okay. You're starting out. I'd say listen to that inner voice that talks to you.
Yes.
And that inner voice, now sometimes it says other things like you can't, and then you do the opposite. But
Yes.
know that you're worthy. And I know
Yes.
that's really hard, especially for young 20s. In your 20s, I just know that in general, men, women, it's a struggle in that way because you're always thinking you need to do more, do better, because you're in your 20s. There's more to achieve. And if I had to say one word to myself in my 20s that I know now, I would say trust yourself. Trust yourself. There isn't any major like word of wisdom, because what I got from now living the time that I have is all the things that I heard, I forget, but it had to do with all things self that I remember. And it just has to do with like trust that inner self and let it guide you. And when that happens, try to connect with people who listen you great. You know, things that don't serve you, friends, even family members, if they don't serve you, if they're not for you, it's okay. You can just disengage. I didn't say divorce, and I didn't say, I'm just saying disengage. That means you don't need to be over that house all the time, right? Listening to them. You don't, when you have a good thing or a bad thing, you might not need to call them at all.
Thanks.
Create who you want in your life and tell those people who are for you. Don't give your power nor your time to those unworthy of you.
Well, on that note, I ain't got nothing more to say.
That's a done deal.
It's a done deal. I appreciate you, Nicole. Thank you for coming on Conversations from
Thank
the Heart. It was
you.
an absolute pleasure. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Keep doing the things you're doing. You are a definite light in the world, and an example to all who is around you. Of course, number one life coach, but you are, you drop a lot of gems. You have a lot of wisdom. Keep doing what you're doing. The youth is in good hands with you, obviously.
Thank
And
you.
I'm glad to know that there will be some youth that will be spawned from you, as far as the schooling and the education that they're going to be receiving from you. And just keep doing the work that you're doing, and you are always welcome back here Anytime here on Conversation of the Heart. So I
Thank
definitely appreciate you.
you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. So this has been another episode of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it is your boy T-Till. I will see you next week for another incredible episode. Peace.